This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This hour is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
Every draft has like just pockets that you just don't fall into. And again, if you're going to be disciplined, you're going to let the board kind of dictate how you do things. It just happens that way. Acquiring talented players, it might come from a different position that maybe you would have liked to. But at the end of the day, you're increasing the talent on your football team. And I do think you can get into a lot of trouble if you start trying to manipulate things to get into certain pockets where you end up hurting your team long term.
That was Ryan Poles talking about his draft strategy, and I do appreciate the honesty and transparency. As we broadcast live from the Score Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers, this is Rahimi and Harris. Dan Wiederer, the Tribune Bears beat writer, is in for Marshall Harris today, and that is why I wanted to discuss this. Dan, it's been over a week, but I feel like you were picking up exactly what Marshall and I were putting down when you wrote the story in the Tribune, how the NFL drafts deep class of running backs seem to dance away from the Bears. We went from talking about Ashton Jeanty to talking about a seventh round running back in a class that we knew was absolutely fabulous for running backs this year.
It was a weird experience on draft weekend to watch that all evolve and unfold, because as you mentioned, going into the draft, all we heard for months was how stocked that aisle was going to be. Running backs galore. You can pick whenever you want. If you miss out on your favorite one, don't worry. Your second favorite one will be there. If you miss out on your three favorite ones, your fifth favorite will be there. There's going to be a lot of opportunities to make something happen with that position group. You mentioned the day of the first round. There is significant buzz about the Bears' interest in possibly exploring a trade to go up and get Ashton Jeanty and make him the centerpiece of the backfield. And then when the weekend ends, you end up waiting till the final hour of the draft, dinner time on Saturday afternoon, to finally address the position with the 22nd running back taken in the draft and Kyle Manungay from Rutgers. And so it felt like the running back board danced away from the Bears. And sometimes that happens in a draft, and sometimes you just have to shrug and take it. But there are worthy questions to ask about whether they were aggressive enough in making a play at running backs. And that soundbite you heard from Ryan there gives you a very clear idea of what the vision is. Now it's open for discussion on whether that vision is the right one at this particular time for this particular team.
Well, and Dan, what concerns me is this is a Bears team where, according to the rest of the NFL, this front office is 15-36. And that is a determining factor in how they view this team's evaluation of talent. Caleb Williams is who he is. They got the 1-1. That is an achievement. You draft Rome Odunze 9th overall. That's still waiting to pan out. You did the right thing by signing Ben Johnson to the contract you did. That doesn't excuse you from your other draft classes.
Yeah.
And especially when we knew coming into this, when they were adding 8 people, and he trades back again, Ryan Poles does, to get what he determines is value. When you could argue that if you had stood pat, perhaps you would have gotten a running back prior to the 7th round. He says the board is what disciplines him. He talks all about the validity of the board, staying disciplined to it. Yeah. But here's what concerns me. your board isn't correct.
This is a recurring rant for me, Layla, because as a front office person in the NFL, you have to convince yourself that all of the resources and money and time and staff that you allocate to the draft is for a reason, right? And so you come up with this thing that you put up on in every room across the 32 organizations in the NFL that tells you, this is how we grade this particular draft. And you tell everyone in the room that this is an answer key. And it's not an answer key. It's a guessing game. We know year after year after year that the draft board is always wrong. We don't know how in the moment. We don't know where in the moment, but we know it is always wrong. And so wedding yourself to the discipline of this quote unquote answer key, when you have, again, we've talked about this, the Hallis Hall draft board lies. It tells many, many lies. It told you in the fourth round many years ago that Riley Ridley was the guy to take.
It
told
you that Bayless Jones punters.
Was there. It told you Zach Pickens was the pick, you know, a few years ago in round three. And so there are going to be mistakes. And we all know that the draft is an inexact science and you're not going to get it all right. But I'm just curious about the discipline aspect to the draft board, because I think it's different to be disciplined in free agency and set values on guys who you know who they are as NFL players, right? Like, you've got years of track record on guys that you're going after in free agency. The draft is an ultimate guessing game. And so I'm not sure the celebration of the discipline there is worthwhile. And the other thing I would point out is Ben Johnson kind of responded and said, to Ryan's credit, he was more disciplined to the draft board than I've ever seen. Well, Ben Johnson was part of a Lions organization that over the last 5 years has, particularly under the watch of Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, has absolutely hit it out of the park in the draft. And, you know, I don't know how much discipline they had there, but Ben is saying this was more discipline than he'd ever seen before. It's not like the Lions didn't have a winning formula there. So interesting discussion to kind of sound through that from an outside looking in view on an inside looking out philosophy.
Well, also know the rules and know when to break the rules.
Sure.
Because that's how you found yourself in this mess. Your lack of counter and your rigidity led you to draft a position of need in the seventh round.
Yeah. And you traded back again twice, you know, in situations where obviously the board didn't break for you. I know they were very aggressive on day two in trying to go get Trevion Henderson. And the discussion here in town is completely different if Trevion Henderson is your second round pick and the headliner of day two, right? Like, we're having a totally different conversation for weeks about what they added to the running backs room to then complement the tight ends room, to then complement the receivers room and the quarterback and the play caller and everything that you're trying to build there. I will say this internally, I think there is, whether it's unfounded, founded or not, I think there's extreme confidence that they can get DeAndre Swift back on track with both Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy unlocking him in a way that he wasn't unlocked last year. And I think there's more confidence internally on Roschon Johnson. Again, that's up for debate, that he wasn't used properly by the previous offensive coordinator and offensive overseer, and that they can get more out of him than most outside observers imagine at this point. That's up to them to figure that out going forward, but I do think that that's some of the confidence they have internally.
Yeah, is it confidence or is it wish casting? And that's my issue as well, is they have zigged when other teams have zagged, and it has not worked out in their favor. I'm not talking about gambles that this team took in the draft, and it paid off for them. Kyler Gordon was drafted about where he should have been. Same with Jaquan Brisker, same with Darnell Wright. Those were proven talents. You could argue it's the same with Rome Odunze and Caleb Williams. So what are you doing in the other details here? And that's where this comes into play. So I don't know how you don't understand that everybody else in the league has the same thoughts on the same observed talent. And the question then, too, is if you're relying on your board that much, how much group discussion has there been about somebody who maybe deserves to be considered to jump and where you think they are running back wise when you're looking at that draft board, knowing that you might be sitting on the outside looking in?
Right. Well, and like, again, to be the 21st team to address the position in a draft like that was so stocked again in that aisle, it did just feel at the end of the weekend that was a big missed opportunity for the Bears and at a position of need, right? Like, and we know that, and you can't force need, but it doesn't mean you can ignore it also just because you see a guy in round four that's really fast as a linebacker who isn't there. Now look, like,
and he was graded as a non-draft pick. He was graded, right, as UDFA
by some around the league, and now you've got to figure out how he fits into Dennis Allen's vision, and you've got to get him to be more than just a special teams piece for you to make this conversation feel better.
But your board prioritizes speed more than other teams.
Correct.
Your board prioritizes relative athletic score more than other teams. Your board prioritizes that stat so much that it causes you to draft players for positions that they don't actually play. And that's why I'm concerned about you following your board.
And you should be. And the Bears have not earned the benefit of the doubt. And I would love at some point during my tenure covering this football team for them to have earned the benefit of the doubt. For me to be able to be like, oh, yeah, I fully trust everything they're going to do. But I've lived through too many of those Black Mondays that we talked about, too many of those dark Novembers and Decembers where they can't buy a win. They've got to find a path to success. Now, I will say this, when you zoom out and you, look, like we always say, you can't analyze free agency in its entirety until the draft is over, because you still have another avenue to address some of the positions you may have ignored. And likewise, you can't analyze a draft class without also incorporating the production in free agency. I do think when you zoom out and see what the Bears have done since they played their last football game at Lambeau Field in January, you feel really good that they're a better football team. You've got one of the most proven play callers in the business overseeing your quarterback. You've got an offensive coaching staff that you feel better about. You've got an offensive line on the interior that feels really, really good. You've got weapons galore. And so you got this belief now that improvement is real and that that should show up on the field as you go forward. So the Bears have to start to put that to work. We know rookie minicamp is this week, and then we'll follow in May and June with the OTAs and the team minicamp. You've got to make progress in those sessions, and you've got to make sure that this on-paper improvement that we're talking about actually comes to life. There's urgency behind that, too, because you're in a division that isn't going to allow you to take many breaths.
No, I completely agree. And I think one of the things that I've wanted to ask you about when it comes to all of this is the reason I think that I'm even more concerned about the running back aspect here is because of how much we've heard Ben Johnson talk about how his offense is predicated on the run.
No doubt.
And if you're not committing bodies defensively to that clear and very possible running threat every down, you're going to be a one-dimensional team. They're going to attack your passing attack. They're going to want to blitz more. They're going to want to take away what you're doing in order to try to be multiple. Certain things have to be established before you can commit to the chunk yardage plays that you're trying to get out of this concept.
Right. And so now, right, like now you take the pieces that you have to work with for now. Will they add another piece here between now and the first time they play a preseason game? We will see. But you have to take the pieces you have now and create vision for that. You have to bring this offense to life. And if you do believe that DeAndre Swift is much better than the 3.8 yards per carry that he averaged last year, and part of it is just getting him unlocked in understanding where the tracks of each run are supposed to take him, well, then you hope that both, again, Ben Johnson and Eric Bieniemy get that unlocked quickly. And DeAndre Swift, who's a very willing learner in that building and will listen to what you tell him, you hope that can unlock it. And if there is a heightened role for Roschon Johnson, let's see it. Let's see it soon. Let's see what it's supposed to look like. And let's see that you've got that depth here. Because I do think one of the most underrated things about Ben Johnson is his marriage to the running game as the thing that gets everything going. Totally underrated with what he did in Detroit, because we saw the fireworks shows. We saw the trick plays. We saw the 68 touchdowns in a season. There's a lot that goes into just turning around, handing the ball to David Montgomery and saying, get this drive started on the right foot with some tone setting running. And Jahmyr Gibbs, obviously one of the best playmakers in the league. They've got to find their answer to getting the running game unlocked.
That's Dan Weederer. He is in for Marshall Harris today on Raheemy and Harris on The Score. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I also want to point out this, too, when you're talking about that offense. A lot of what we know about explosive offenses is what comes in second and short.
Yeah.
And that's why that running game is so important here. So when I see the personnel, the way it did shake out after the draft, we've been asking the question all along, you know, whose draft is this? Is this Ben Johnson's? Is this Ryan Poles? I very much felt like it was still Ryan Poles. Like, Colston Loveland aside, you could definitely make the argument that the other seven players were very much a Ryan Poles type of draft.
There was a moment on Saturday evening after the draft where someone in the media room asked Ryan and Ben collectively, what did you learn about working with each other through these last 72 hours or whatever it was? And Ryan kind of turned to Ben and said, what did we learn to each other? And Ben didn't answer. And there was like just kind of this moment was like, I wanted the thought bubbles inside each of their heads on how they navigated this first experience together, because we'll probably never know for sure. But you want to know how fluid it was. You want to know how contentious some of the conversations were at critical moments of the draft. And you want to kind of have a feel for how that dynamic works, because it's one thing to sit on a Zoom call in an interview in January and feel like, oh yeah, we're gonna be you know, really simpatico, and our relationship is going to be very productive. It's another thing when there's real time live action that needs to be tended to, and you have to get in those moments and work through them together in a way that advances the organization, that you got to find some of that in live action synergy that doesn't always exist. So I'd be curious to know 5 years from now, if we could ever get both of them on Truth Serum, what they truly learned about each other in this first draft experience, and then how it will help them going forward.
Absolutely. And the other piece to this is I remember when there were players that they drafted based on the desires and the needs of Matt Eberflus. And I feel like that's the case. The best example here, though, of them being disciplined to that board, maybe in the second round. It may just very well be Luther Burden.
For sure, right.
They did not need a wide receiver.
No. That's it. That's the one right there. It could, because it's definitely a luxury pick. The board spoke to you and told you that this guy's got a chance to be a Pro Bowl receiver. You're getting him at a value pick there at the top of day two. And now you have to bring out his best and sort of mute his worst. And we've heard the scouting reports on both, like electric with the ball in his hands. He can be a slot receiver, a guy you give jet sweeps to, a guy you can unlock in your playbook in a number of different ways. But you also have to keep him engaged and happy and understanding which direction the entire team needs the operation to go. And so that's going to be a management challenge for Ben Johnson and his staff to now take all these guys that are, you know, high profile playmakers and keep them happy. That's why the mouths to feed discussion was prevalent last week. And again, like, you look at Ben in Detroit and his number two tight end was Brock Wright. Like, his number three receiver was, you know, Josh Reynolds and Tim Patrick. These aren't guys that are alphas that are being asked to play a lesser role. They understand, if the ball doesn't come my way more than four times over the month of October, I'm not going to gripe about it and be unhappy and walk off the field in the middle of a play.
Well, so is that where you are with this, that it was a walk off the field moment?
Well, DJ in Arizona? Yeah. I mean, certainly it was a bad look. It was certainly a very bad look. And in a year where there were more than a few things that were bad looks. And so, that's the challenge. That's a leadership challenge now for the Bears to be able to get all these guys to understand what needs to happen. Charles Davis was on the podcast with us last week and said those things become much lesser issues when you're winning football games. When you start to lose, players of that magnitude feel like they can help more than they're being allowed to help. Mm-hmm. And that frustration gets to be very, very intense. Mm-hmm. You know, and that's what we've experienced many times here in Chicago, where it's like the intentions are right. I want to help more, but you start to get frustrated and it starts to play out in ways that don't benefit the team.
As weird as this sounds, you and I have done a billion interviews together, but I don't think we've ever done a show together until today. Right. And there are a couple of questions that have been lingering in my mind when it comes to things said at press conferences. Do you want to play with that in the next segment?
Sure.
I know we want to address the article you wrote recently, which is a key question when we follow up with all of this, which is, did the Bears give Caleb Williams everything he needs? So we'll address that, but I also want to go back on some things that I heard that perked my ears a bit.
Sure.
Because I think you listen to press conferences the same way I do. So let's do that next. Dan Wiederer in for Marshall Harris. This is Raheem and Harris on The Score.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something...
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and get up to 50% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
There is no depth chart right now. If you want to play, you got to go earn it. If you want a role, you got to go earn it. They know that. I think all we did this weekend was we might have just turned up the notch just a couple of dials for certain people in the building. So that's a good thing. That's a healthy thing. That's where you bring out the best, not only in your team, but what I'm going to be curious to see is what guys look like when the ball's not in their hands on offense.
That's Ben Johnson talking about accountability, which I swear was a theme word of the Bears ever since October of last year. No better person to talk about it than Dan Wiederer. He is in for Marshall Harris today and Rahimi and Harris on The Score. And I wanted to originally talk to you about an article you just wrote, but what you said in the last conversation about the draft board got me thinking about how you and I perhaps listen to press conferences the same way. I just kept thinking to myself, when I heard Ben Johnson there, or when I heard even Matt Eberflus previously, or when I heard Ryan Poles, the continual discussion of accountability, especially when Ben Johnson was introduced.
Right.
I was like, who is he talking to?
Yeah.
I felt like a coach was specifically talking to one player on the team, or maybe two.
It's hard to say. I mean, there's certainly subtext, and you've got to kind of sift through it and see what happens. What I'm fascinated to see, and I actually asked Ben this in his introductory press conference, is what does accountability look like to you? Because that's, as you mentioned, since last October, it's been the buzzword inside of House Hall. We need more accountability. We need more accountability.
Is it in the room with you right now? Blink twice if you're in trouble.
And essentially, his answer was that, look, like, we have to establish very clear, defined standards. And when people fall short of that standards, there has to be consequence to that. And so that's where it is, right? Like that's the big word there. Consequence. What are the consequences when people fall short? We spent years of the Matt Eberflus era talking about the hits principle. Well, we're going to grade the effort on every single play of every single practice and every single game. Okay, cool. Really good in principle. But if there are no consequences to not or not strong enough consequences to not meeting the standard, then what good is it? And then we see that stuff play out in real time when your cornerback is not where he's supposed to be on a game-deciding play in a loss that ends up torpedoing your entire season, and it takes days to come to any sort of conclusion. And the conclusion was really kind of – it didn't feel – full-hearted, right, in the way they handled Tyreek Stevenson after that play. And even, you know, weeks later, Tyreek Stevenson in an interview with Mark Potash still didn't seem to understand what exactly he did wrong responsibility-wise on the play. You know, not just the interactions with the fans, but understanding who he was supposed to be with on the play and why he was not supposed to go and jump and tip the ball that Kevin Byard was supposed to knock down into the hands. There has to be consequence for those things, right? Like, and so it goes offense, defense, special teams. You have to have coaches initially that establish the consequence. And then I think the goal of Ben Johnson and his staff is eventually to turn it over to veteran players to make sure that they have the voice and the resources needed to make sure that stuff doesn't happen. But that's going to be a huge conversation for the 2025 Bears. Now we need to see the action behind accountability.
Right. And what's funny is I feel like they feigned it at times. Chase Claypool's on the PUP list to start the season. Inexplicably, Jalen Johnson, who was out of an OTA for a legitimate reason, you know, the golf tournament, observing his childhood friend who had passed away. Yeah. That he's starting with the threes. Like there were, it's like, oh, the easy punishment was easy for you.
Right.
But once it came into how you're going to have to hurt your team because somebody's lack of focus hurt the team for the rest of the season, that's when it got out of control. And I don't think that there's any doubt that that 10-game losing streak was a part of all of that. Like, you wonder how one loss beat you twice, beat you thrice, beat you into seemingly infinity. Also, Robbie Triano just let me know, we have the question that you asked, Dan, about accountability to Ben Johnson. Let's listen for reference.
How do you define accountability under your watch?
Yeah, accountability is really, we're going to do what we say we're going to do, and we're going to be who we say we're going to be. And if we fall short of that standard, then there has to be consequences to that. That can look a number of different ways, but we are going to get to the point when we are winning here where our veteran players are going to take over the accountability portion of it. Until we get there, though, it's going to be on us as the coaching staff to outline what it should look like, what a Chicago Bears going to look like, what that professional work ethic is going to look like.
There's a lot packed in there.
That's it. And I keep thinking about it, and I just keep wondering, I don't know that a head coach would say that about a cornerback. You know, I understand that was a terrible thing that happened. We talked about it for sure. Talk radio basically lit itself on fire because people couldn't wait to discuss it and continue to do so. But again, the relative scale of players of importance, who's number one?
Well, and he also talks about professional work ethic, which marries up with all that, right? And figuring out how those things kind of go hand in hand. By the way, just listening to that sound clip again, like I'm definitely in a honeymoon phase as a reporter with talking to Ben Johnson. I feel like every conversation you have with him is detailed. There's valuable insight and information that comes out of every exchange. I love that as a reporter. We've sat through so many years of the John Fox era, who, by the way, like, John was so much better after he was the Bears coach than he was while he was the Bears coach of Eberflus. You hear all this hollow stuff. Like with Ben, like, you feel like you're getting places when you have these sessions with him, whether it's a huge press conference, whether it's a one-on-one at the owners meetings, wherever it is, you feel like you're learning and gaining valuable insight into his vision and his approach. I think this is going to be fun here for a lot of people in Chicago to kind of have this refreshing, open book, insightful way of learning about the football team that they follow so closely.
I love the analytical brain that he has when it comes to just thinking through every step.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that shows.
It's intense.
I feel like the mathematical way he sees a field is the same. You know, it's geometry for him. It's angles. It's how you're using the whole field, that type of deal. That makes sense to me as a play caller and as a head coach. I also want to ask you this, though, because I remember when I got here and Matt Nagy took over for John Fox, mm-hmm. I remember being happy about the transparency at the time.
Sure.
I remember feeling like it was a breath of fresh air in a way.
Sure.
But the other piece of this that I think we probably discredit, thanks in part to an article you wrote, was how betrayed John Fox was by Ryan Pace at the end.
At the end. I mean, it was before they started their final season together, right?
Right.
Like, the trust had been permanently fractured, and you're like, it's one of those moments where you're like, man, like that's how you become an organization that goes a quarter century without any sort of sustained success, because you're just broken in too many meaningful ways too often, and there's not enough guardrails or checks and balances or things to keep that in line, you know. And so for them to basically go into the 2017 season with a head coach and a general manager that didn't want to work with one another anymore, it's jarring, right? Like, and you have to live that through the entire rookie season of a quarterback you traded up to draft at number two
secretly. So when we talk about whose draft it is, 100% you know that was Ryan Pace.
Yes, we do know that. We do know that one for sure.
But yeah. I do remember that time where we were appreciative of what You're Matt right. Nagy was well, talking
and,
about.
And the other thing we were appreciative of is that Matt Nagy won 12 football games and the city was electric and it was alive and it was like, oh yeah. You know, like Manley talks about this all the time about being a young player and being told by some of the veterans, I think Big Cat Williams being one of them, of like, just wait till we win here. Like, you have no idea what Chicago is like when the Bears are winning. Modern day, I think all the time about Cole and Jalen. These guys came in 2020. They haven't experienced any sort of meaningful success during their Bears career. It's very realistic to say that both of them are at least halfway done with their NFL careers, right? Like, they're 5 years in already, and you can hear every grain of sand in their hourglass dropping through. You know how badly they want to win here. And so it's like, those are the guys that I hope really feel the urgency and convey the urgency in this new program as some of the veteran leaders that are like, guys, like, we're tired of being told to wait around. It's coming, it's coming, it's coming. And then it's not coming. We're just rebooting once again at quarterback or GM or coach or whatever it may be. Like, those guys have lived it now, right? Like, and like, when you think of that through professional livelihood, like, oh God, did I just experience half of my career, particularly a guy like Cole who grew up here, right? And
right.
You know how much it means to him. I hope those guys are able to take some enforcement of this football team going forward.
Dude, I will never forget last season. It was Jason Leisure's article and the quotes from Kyler Gordon and how sad they were. They were legitimately sad, where he's talking about how he's in the best physical time of his career and he's unfortunately watching it go away because he's playing on a team that doesn't know how to win. And he wasn't that indictment centered about it. That's my paraphrasing. Sure. The way he said it was much more, I think, understanding and passive. There was not an accusatory tone, but just sad.
Like, this sucks, right? Like, that's the overtone. I was like, this sucks. Like, I'm wasting a year of my professional prime for a team that can't get itself right.
And I'm very player-centric. You know, I am. I listen to players. I feel like they tell you more in what they don't say, they'll tell you more. Like, that's why I feel like windows are dictated by players. They're not dictated by executives. They're not dictated by coaches. That's how I feel. Those are the ones on the field. That's it for me. So when I hear players talk like that, it resonates so much, because I do wonder if the real benefit in getting guys like Joe Tooney on this team isn't just for what you're going to see on the line. It's to help people when they say things like that.
Right. And it's to, you know, set an example every single day and be the one that is the guy that people want to follow.
Well, and also to prevent the slumps from happening that are so long, to prevent a 10-game losing streak. Somebody's got to be like, hey, man, I won games. Settle down. This is not that bad. And I'm not saying that people are blowing things out of proportion, but somebody to say, nah, we can stop this. Here's how. Or like,
right.
Just have that mentality, because it does matter in a locker room to a football season. Look, it sometimes is about emotion rather than X's and O's.
It's oftentimes about emotion rather than X's and O's. And so, like, I mean, obviously the X's and O's are going to supersede things, but you have to be able to manage that week, right? Like, and where are we now psychologically? You came out of Washington, you knew that team was really, really crushed by what happened there. You went to Arizona, and that game got away from you. The next week, that there was that home game against New England, and it was the ultimate get-right game against an opponent with a rookie quarterback that wasn't very good, and you got him on your home turf, and if you just play a mediocre to above-average brand of football, you walk out of there with a win, and everything settles down.
And a coach in turmoil, by the way. So right. You know, look in the mirror a little bit there.
Right. And they never had a chance in that game, right? Yeah. Like, and that was the one where you're just like, oh boy. And I think that was Shane's last game, if I'm not mistaken.
Waldron's.
And then there you go. There's the spiral. I mean, man, it's hard to relive that spiral when you go back through that period. I mean, when you go between, again, Halloween and New Year's Day without winning a single football game, like, no one can take that.
It was also just the little things, though, and it will be about this for me a lot of ways on the football field. It will be about how successful your first drive is.
Sure.
Because after Shane Waldron left the building, it still wasn't successful. And that will indicate, you know, what's your preparation like during the week? You know, these are the details where you find out who your team is. You know, we talked about the Cubs a little bit earlier and their success in first games of the season. And we got a break because Ian Happ's coming up, actually, right, guys? So I want to ask him about that meeting, for example, the preparation that they have. You know, no better person to ask than an athlete next. We got real deep in the weeds there, but that's
I love it.
That's what you get to do when you don't have a game to talk about for the Bears. Dan Weeder in for Marshall Harris. Ian Happ is next. This is Raheemy and Harris on The Score.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Want to grow your business fast? With TikTok ads, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising your business on TikTok, now is the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your websites, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads, and grow your business fast.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
If you don't know about flyer deals on Instacart, this message is for you. Flyer deals are like strolling through your favorite store looking for deals, but you're scrolling your phone and maybe you're in bed because getting delivery doesn't mean you have to miss deals like you'd get at the store. Like the one creamer that doesn't make your stomach hurt or the pasta sauce you can't not buy when it's on sale. So download the Instacart app, shop flyers, and never miss a deal on one of your favorites. Plus, get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes.
Hey everyone, summer is just around the corner and May's packed with reasons to celebrate. Whether you're firing up the grill for a backyard barbecue, soaking up the sun by the pool, or enjoying a long weekend with friends and family, Whole Foods Market makes it easy to kick off the season with great everyday prices on high quality favorites, from fresh produce to grilling essentials. Let's dive into the savings and get your summer fun started right. Personally, I love how easy Whole Foods Market makes it to pull together a last-minute gathering. I was there recently picking up a few things for a cookout, and those yellow low-price signs are no joke. I grabbed their No Antibiotics Ever Ground Turkey and a few 365 by Whole Foods Market Organic Salad Kits. Honestly, so convenient and surprisingly affordable. The quality is still everything you'd expect, but I definitely felt like I was scoring a deal, which I love. Plus those yellow sale signs, I make a beeline for them now. Especially when I saw strawberries on sale, we went through two cartons in one day. Save on May celebrations with great everyday prices at Whole Foods Market.
The talent that's here and the talent that is continuing to develop here. You obviously have some mainstay guys like Ian Happ.
Ian Happ, Cubs all-star outfielder.
The pitch hit in the air to right field and deep. Back goes Matos. Near the wall, it's got a chance. Gone. Two-run homer, Ian Happ. Cubs lead 2-0.
Absolutely crushed that ball.
What I love about Ian is very dedicated and serious about his craft.
Gold Glove Award winner.
Here's a liner toward left coming in. Ian Happ dives and makes an excellent backhanded catch. Very nice play by Happ on a sinking liner in left. He came in and dove and made an excellent catch for out number one.
Host of the Compound Podcast.
The left field fans, like, they mean a lot to me. Those guys in left field, those people that are out there every day with season tickets, like, there's nothing like it.
Connect Roasters coffee enthusiast.
Here's a man that probably has five fresh pots a day.
Ian Happ on 670 The Score.
We toast you, Ian Happ.
I raise my coffee to Ian Happ because he pours us coffee. And he joins us right now on the Circa Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circa app today. It is Ian Happ, the Cubs Gold Glove outfielder, co-hosting the Compound Podcast, which is now a part of Odyssey Sports. New episodes drop each Wednesday with the latest discussion on the Cubs and baseball. Download and listen on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. Ian Happ, I feel like it's a another day, another dollar as you join us, because another day after a series opener, Cubs are 1-0 against the Giants.
Yeah, that was a good one last night. First time through the lineup, didn't get much going, and to be able to kind of hang a big number there, take advantage of some mistakes, and Boyd did a great job, bullpen did a great job, so just kind of all the way around there, really good, clean baseball game from us.
I'm glad you brought that up, because that was the first thing I noticed. You turn the lineup over against Landon Roop, and you're able to capitalize with that home run. What did you take away from just seeing him that first time that made the offense kind of really kickstart again that second time to take advantage?
Yeah, I think, Dansby hitting the double there and getting us started, kind of breaking the seal. After seeing him the first time, the curveball's pretty unique from that arm slot. It just has a little bit more up and down than you would think. From where he's thrown it, and we got pretty aggressive against him in the first time through, I think, and kind of the second time through, we're able to get him in the zone and really get a feel for that pitch mix. So we did a really good job there making that adjustment. We've done that a couple different times this year, where first time through, not much going, and then making that adjustment second time through.
Ian, it's great to talk to you. This lineup feels so potent right now, and I'm curious, in terms of the teams you've played on over the years, what is the special sauce for how dangerous and deep this lineup has been so far this season?
Yeah, I think it's a combination of guys that are experienced and have done great things in the league, and then young guys who are really making strides, with some additions here and there. But I think the depth of the lineup, just the quality of the at bat 1-9, the ability for us to hurt you, whether it's kind of the top three guys doing it that day, or the middle lineup, or the guys down the order, like, it's just everybody stepping up on different days and helping out, and you never feel like it's on one guy's shoulders, and that's what helps you get through 162 and really make it hard on teams day in and day out.
I appreciate that you brought that up, Ian, because I feel like there's so many studies, right? I'm going to talk to you about some other stats that I feel like are actually valid to the success of the team. But when it comes to trying to quantify protection in the lineup, I think the best way to do so is by listening to people like you and knowing that and how it does matter. You play tighter. You worry about your mistakes more when you worry that it might just be on you that day. But I feel like when you've listened to everybody talk 1-9 on this team, they know that it's okay if they don't have the best at bat, because they're going to make up for it, or somebody else is going to make up for it. And I do feel like it's causing something good and contagious to happen, where everybody is having their most accurate at bats and successfully against opposing pitchers.
Yeah, I feel like when you're in a lineup like that, where that it's not just on you, or that somebody, the team's going to get it done regardless. If you have a 6-7 pitch at bat, and you don't get the result that you want, then that you've done your job to help the next guy. Or you go up there and you've seen all those pitches, you've given the team a chance to take a look at them, or you're in a situation where, hey, I know that we didn't score in this inning when I got on base, but I know that the next time through, we're going to get the job done. So it's just this contagious belief that we're going to score runs, and we're going to do it in a bunch of different ways. If the wind's blowing in, we're not afraid to safety squeeze and steal some bases and do that. If the wind's blowing out, we have the ability to get the ball in the air and hit some home runs. Just to do it different ways. If we don't have a great day against the starter, to know that we're going to get to the bullpen. Just things like that, where you feel like there is this contagious belief that we're going to put up runs, whether it's in the first inning or the ninth.
Ian, how do you explain the success in series openers that you guys have been enjoying so far?
I don't know. That's an interesting one. I know that we've done really well in season openers and struggled at to finish out the end of the series.
Yeah,
I think.
We have the numbers, actually.
Sunday's not so pretty.
6 straight series openers that you've won, scoring 8.2 runs per in those. 3-6 in series finales, and 1-5 on Sundays.
Yeah, I think it's still early in the season, and that's part of baseball. I don't have much of an answer for that one. But the one thing about our team, we're all in the same lineup out there no matter what. We're not going out there and punting the end of series. We're not juicing it for the first game of the series. So the same lineup's rolling out there. I think that's something that's pretty impressive about this group. Is doesn't matter if it's a 12:35 in Pittsburgh, it doesn't matter if it's night to day, same guys are going to go out there and be in that lineup and be ready to go. And I think that's pretty commendable amongst the group. And so, yeah, I think that's been really nice to kick off series this way. It's been really nice to be up big. You know, the difference that it makes when you're having to get the other team going through their bullpen day one and we're able to kind of rest our back end guys day one, that's a huge advantage.
Obviously, it's only May 6th, and there's a long way to go, but this team just feels like it's got some special kind of juice to it. How do you describe what you're feeling in that clubhouse and every day with the energy, the confidence, the fight that this group has shown so far?
Yeah, I think we just have a really good group of guys. I think we have a great group of guys who, you know, most of us, it's we've been playing together for a little bit, either, you know, whether it's myself, Nico, Dansby, Jameson, Saya, who've been together for a while now, or, you know, Pete and Bushy, who we've been together for a couple years, and then Tuck fit right in. You know, Justin Turner's a great addition and a guy that's seen so much baseball. Nicky Lopez has been a great fit. John Birdie's been a great fit. You just keep going down the list of guys that are accomplished, good players who have been great clubhouse personalities, and like, what that does for a group. And I think going to Japan early was a really great way to get everybody together and to spend some real quality time together and get to know the team and the group. And so I just think we have a really, like I said, good group of guys that get along really well and want to spend time together, and that's a big part of it.
I also feel like you have a group that gives each other credit. One of my biggest takeaways from this past weekend was, especially in the two games of the Brewer series, the first two, I felt like there was a lot of good conversation going on. One of the comments from PCA talking about how you were setting the tone for the lineup, just where you were leading off. I know that you two talk, and I know that he's talked about your importance to him before, but when you hear that, what does it mean to you to know that he's appreciating what you're doing in that way?
Yeah, you know, I think Pete's a great kid, and his ability to get, he's so talented, and obviously he's been getting a lot of publicity and press, and his ability to put it on to his teammates and to shift the focus away from him and to his teammates, you know, it speaks volumes to the kind of person he is. But yeah, I appreciate it, and that's my job on this group, is to get on base and let the guys behind me drive me in. Yeah, we have two of the best hitters in baseball hitting right behind me. So if I can get on base, we're going to score a lot of runs.
Another quality start last night from Boyd. Can you just kind of describe what he's meant, particularly at the start of a season where you've needed a little bit of that at times?
Yeah, I mean, great addition. I think just Jed and Carter, you know, finding Boyd and yeah, we faced him in Cleveland last year. I said this when we signed him, and he was lights out. You know, his stuff plays. He's done it for a long time now, and his stuff is very, very good. The ability to run the fastball up to 94, 95 from that slot on the left side, wicked changeup, and plus the two breaking balls that he can kind of deploy. So he's been super impressive. He's been giving us quality start after quality start. And you know what him, Jameson, and Colin Ray have been able to do, just quality starts every time out, giving us a chance to win every time out. Like, that's, it's consistent, and it's really, really good. You know, Ben Brown was great last time out, obviously Shota's been great, but you know, the ability for those guys to go out and just give us quality starts and keep us in the ball game. You know, I think people talk a lot about guys going 7-8 innings and giving up no runs, and that, like, it's amazing when that happens, but when guys go out there and give you 6 innings, 2 runs, 6 innings, 3 runs, and just keep you in the ball game, it gives our offense a chance to put up some runs and then keep adding on. And that's huge for the group.
This segment with Ian Happ is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. And Ian, I know we're up against the top of the hour, so I just want to ask really quick, any updates on Connect Roasters? And I saw you in a commercial, speaking of coffee, and your gold glove for the Cubs. Anything you want to tell us there?
Yeah, that was a fun shoot. We were able to do that during spring training, and was able to wear the Connect sweatshirt out there and get a little Connect plug. But it's been great. The boys are really loving the cold brew in the clubhouse, and so the cane cold brew, we're excited for people to try it. And then we got the Compound Live coming up, Music Box Theater, May 31st, which is a Saturday at 7 p.m. And PCA is going to join us for the live show. So tickets, musicboxtheater.com. We're excited for everybody to check it out.
Yeah, I'm excited too. Everybody wear your Dansby Swanson flow headbands to the Compound Live podcast. Ian Happ, thanks so much. Congratulations on the win. We look forward to the game tonight.
Thanks so much. Have a good one.
Thanks, Ian.
That was Ian Happ joining us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. You can get Connect, especially since it's a homestand. Should tell you, it's over at Steingold's as well, and I have had it, so keep drinking the cold brew. We have more coming up. Dan Wiederer is in for Marshall Harris on Raheemi and Harris on the Score. And it is time for Five on It next. So I'm excited to hear Dan's thoughts. We do have a couple Bears questions in there for him. Join us. That's coming up next.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.